Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of GC Podcast. You're hanging out for a moment with your favorite podcast host, Anthony and Joe. I don't really know if we are your favorites, but since you can't respond with the affirmative, we're just going to run with it. So, Joe Brandon, it's great to be with you again, and I'm curious, as we get started here, what's praiseworthy in your life right now?
My brother Anthony, that is such a good question to ask ourselves periodically, because it helps us reflect on how God is good, even in the midst of challenges. And I would have to say the fact that the family is healthy right now is praiseworthy. I have the ability to work from home, being a pastor, and so I can actually help my three kids with their virtual learning. And a lot of families don't have that ability, and so I am very thankful and grateful for those things. That's definitely praiseworthy.
Now, is it praiseworthy to your kids that you're their teacher virtually? How's that working out for them?
Well, there's a reason why you asked me that question and you didn't ask them, because I think it would be a different answer.
We'll just leave that there and wish you luck. So in this month's episode, I interview George Strube, the Hope Avenue champion in Big Sandy, Texas, in the GCI congregation there. Why, from your perspective, is the Hope Avenue Champion vital to the health of a local congregation?
Oh, yeah. You know, we want to receive people well and love them well during our worship services on Sundays and whenever you're doing your worship services. And to do that, there needs to be many facets implemented, different areas to really love and receive people well. And as the pastor, I can't do all those different areas. And so it takes a lot to help someone journey through our worship service. So to have someone who loves Jesus, loves the church, and loves people to oversee all those areas is so, so vital.
Yeah. You mentioned you are a pastor, and I know you well enough to know that you work closely with your Hope Avenue champion and your congregation. So tell us a little bit about that. Why, as the church leader, have you made that particular relationship a priority?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Anthony. And like I mentioned in our previous podcast with Michelle Fleming, we talked about these three different avenues that we talk about in GCI, the Faith, Hope, Love Avenue, and how, you know, one of those legs of the stool, I look at it as like a stool. One of those legs is the Hope Avenue. And so to have a really close relationship in meeting with one another to discuss the various aspects of the Hope Avenue is so important, because the Hope Avenue is a very major part of our discipleship pathway. But also, Anthony, I think it's also even more vital that the relationship between me as not just the pastor, but as the individual, to the individual, in my case, it's Matt and Nikki Payne, are my Hope Avenue champions. To have the relationship with them as individuals is more important, because honestly, at the end of the day, my job as a pastor will fade, their job as the Hope Avenue champion will fade. And what's really going to remain at the end of the day is the relationship built between us and our families. And if we have a strong relationship with one another as individuals, then the relationship between pastor and Hope Avenue champion is just going to be a natural flow.
Yeah, that is so good. And I won't ask you to put a number on it, like how many hours you spend with Matt and Nikki in this case, you know, just as friends and brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I know it's an enormous amount of time that you're investing. So keep up the good work, Joe. Thank you for your insights. And thank you for all the good work you are doing to serve the GC podcast community. Now let's listen to my interview with George Strube. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the great fortune of interviewing an old friend. And I say old intentionally because we're both getting up there in age. But welcome, George Strube. It's great to have you here today. George and his family hail from Big Sandy, Texas, where George volunteers as a Hope Avenue champion for Grace Communion Big Sandy. George is married to Sarah, and they have two children, Rebecca and Nathaniel. So, George, thank you for being here today. And, of course, our energies and focus are going to be on the Hope Avenue, specifically the role of the champion. So let me ask you this. What in the world is a Hope Avenue champion, and why does the role matter?
Anthony, thank you for inviting me to speak about this subject, and it's good to see you again and speak with you. It's always great to spend time with old friends, and I say that also intentionally.
Amen, brother.
Well, not long ago, GCI adopted a leadership structure that in local congregations is team-based and pastor-led. Primary components of the team follow three different avenue champions: faith, hope, and love, taking a page out of the Apostle Paul's playbook there. The faith champion is more about teaching and the Word of God. The love avenue champion is more about outreach and how we show love to people outside our four walls. And that leaves the Hope Avenue champion. And that's my role. The Hope Avenue champion is all about what happens inside the four walls, essentially from parking lot to the pew and back. The focus is to give hope to those that are coming into the door. People that come to church are wanting to have some aspect of hope in their lives. And our God is a God of hope. Another page out of the playbook of Paul, our God is a God of hope. And we want to share that hope that God gives to each and every one of us week after week. And our goal is to have people be encouraged and edified. Well, essentially, that is the role of Hope Avenue champion, and it matters to give hope to people.
Yeah, it does. And we know hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus was intentional in his ministry historically as he walked the earth, and he is now by his Spirit. And so I think there's a call on each of us, George, to be intentional, to plan ahead. So let's talk about specifically a job description, or maybe more aptly named a ministry description. What does a Hope Avenue champion do with intentionality? What does it look like?
A Hope Avenue champion essentially oversees every part of the church service in a way that highlights hope to people. From a technical aspect, they work closely with the pastor and with the worship team to provide a cohesive and harmonious message that they're integrated together, both in song and in sermon. Hope Avenue Champion also coordinates a team to oversee other key components of the church service as well. It's not just the worship. It's not just the preaching by the pastor. It includes an integration team, helping people come into the door that maybe are new, helping them to get integrated into our church. Again, the worship team, hospitality team. Hospitality, you know, in GCI is a big thing, fellowship. Having hospitality, making sure people are welcome and cared for in church, before church, after church. And also technology team. Technology is very important in having a service that can provide a message in a way that is of quality and does not distract at all.
That's really good. Quality that doesn't distract, makes people feel safe as they point their attention to the one who embodies hope. So what your role is to oversee the Sunday worship gathering there in Big Sandy. So why don't you, we know for something to happen on Sunday, it means it's actually happened during the week, that there's been a lot of planning and preparation for that. So what does a typical week look like for George as he prepares for the Sunday gathering?
Anthony, you may think that I'm a little lazy in my response that I'm going to give to you, but unless I'm actually serving as the worship leader for a given Sunday, we have teams, different teams that serve as worship leaders in our congregation, and I'm on once every 3 weeks or so. But unless I'm serving in a role, my week is really not very busy as a Hope Venue or Hope Avenue champion. I look at my role as being kind of like a grocery store manager. There are times when I get my hands dirty and I have hands-on in the service, just like a grocery store manager would have hands-on occasionally. You can imagine, though, a grocery store manager that has skill in management, and that's really what Hope Avenue Champion is a manager. They have a team of talented people that they rely on to do their jobs. It's not the role of the Hope Avenue Champion to do everything. They're there to oversee everything. You would not want to put me, going back to the grocery store analogy, you would not want to put me in the bakery to decorate cakes. My artistic skills amount to drawing stick figures poorly. In the same way, there are roles at church that don't fit me at all, but I rely very heavily on the people that God has blessed with gifts and talents to fill those roles. So I take a hands-off approach on the actual service itself. And what I do is I make sure that I coordinate during the week the people that have the roles that are actually doing the on-the-ground jobs of having a cohesive church service.
Yeah, you spoke earlier about the model of being team-based and pastor-led, and you just discussed, or at least alluded to, this team that you've built in the Hope Avenue and the way that you collaborate together. Talk to us more about that. How did you go about building the team, and what does that collaboration look like as you go?
Building the team is... it's a challenge. One of the things that I find is that I get along with people that, and I work well with people that are like me. And I may want to build a team of people of Georgians, for example. That is not necessarily the best way to have a team. You need to have diversity in your team. And again, focusing on the people that have the skills and talents that are needed to fulfill their roles in the Hope Avenue role. That said, I know that I have skills and other people have skills, and it's building upon the strengths of each other that is really the most important thing, and not building a team of 100% Georgians.
Yeah, can we talk a little bit more about that? You said diversity. What do you mean by that? Not having three Georges on the team. By the way, that would be a scary thought. No offense, but what do you mean? Can you help unpack that, the diversity aspect of the team?
Mm-hmm. So the diversity aspect of the team, everyone has different personality traits, if you will. My personality trait is one that is very much ready to give an answer or provide a solution for something, where other people have traits that are, and I mentioned specifically about being an artist. I am not an artist. I am not creative. There are folks that are creative. We need those creatives. So my team has a creative. My team has someone who's a visionary. My team has someone who is very practical. That's me. Looking at the different aspects of the service, trying to find people on my team that fill all of those, or as many of those aspects as possible.
Yeah, that's good. And one of the things that has been introduced in GCI USA are the Five Voices concept, which came from Giant Worldwide. and having those multiple voices is really helpful. For instance, I am a creative, and so I love to have the mental architecture of building something. And I need you, George, to build it because you're really practical and can have a solution. So that's a good word for our champions, because it's not meant to be done alone. It's meant to be done in a team environment. And that only multiplies out leadership and ministry, you know, which I think is a very healthy thing. Another healthy thing is the relationship between the lead pastor and the Hope Avenue champion, and of course the other two Avenue champions as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your ongoing relationship with Pastor Jerome Ellard and what that looks like as you work together?
Pastor Jerome and I have a very solid relationship. We get together periodically just for casual lunches. And it's not necessarily a planning opportunity, it's just a relationship building. From that relationship, we may have things that we have to discuss for planning, and they flow very smoothly. So having that relationship, we can plan via email, we can plan via Zoom, we can plan via text. But the key is to make sure that he and I are on the same page as far as our worship service, what happens inside our four walls from parking lot to pew and back again. We get together, as I said, periodically, and if there's anything that comes to mind for him, he bounces it off of me and vice versa. If we want to make a small tweak or even a big change, it's easy for us to get together and talk about it because we have a relationship together.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that relationship has been empowered with trust, you know, because he is the lead pastor. So ultimately it's his responsibility what happens in the church, but he entrusts you for this primary ministry in the church. Can you talk a little bit about the trust that is needed and how that works in that relationship dynamic?
For our relationship, trust has been a little bit of an odd experience for me. Not that I don't trust our pastor, not that he doesn't trust me. He actually trusts me quite a bit. When something comes up, he'll say, George, I think that is something that falls under the Hope Avenue. How about you go ahead and make a decision on that? And from our historical background, having a pastor give that to someone else is odd. It's strange. He gives a lot of trust to me in the decisions that have to be made in our congregation. And I have absolutely no doubt that he trusts me, but it's an odd experience from my perspective, being given that trust and saying, all right, it's yours, and you can make the decisions that you need to make. Without that trust from the pastor to the Hope Avenue champion, you really can't have success. And he has more than trust in me.
Yeah, it's almost like parenting. I think one of the best things that a parent can give a child is the space to make mistakes and learn from them and grow from them and know all along that you trust them. And so that's, you know, you think of the disciples being sent out two by two who weren't quite prepared for the job that they were being asked to do by Jesus, but there was trust and there was empowerment. And that's encouraging for me to hear about that dynamic in your church. So you've already said you're a practical dude, so let's get practical here. What are some key steps that you believe every Hope Avenue champion should consider doing? We've already talked about building a team. What other things should a Hope Avenue champion have in mind?
Well, number one, we started our podcast in a word of prayer. Pray for wisdom, pray for direction from the Holy Spirit. Number one. As I said, having a solid core and empower them to do their jobs. Just as the pastor has empowered me to be the Hope Avenue champion, those on my team, I empower and don't micromanage. Let them do their jobs. They have the skills to do them. I don't. Let them do their jobs. Also, it's good to look at the service from a bird's eye view. Just take a step back and see maybe if there are some little tweaks that can be put into place that might make a big difference. We've had a few things that we have done that have made a big difference. And then where it is practical, provide some constructive feedback or training to lead up to a more cohesive church experience.
You mentioned a couple of key tweaks that you made that improved the experience. That piqued my interest. Do you mind talking about one or two of those tweaks that you made and the impact that it had on the gathering?
I'll talk to you about a real simple one. I'll talk to you about one that came about because of our current pandemic crisis that we're in. The first, very practical, very simple. Every week, we like to share Speaking of Life as a part of our worship service. It is an easy thing to do from my perspective, being a technologist, to embed Speaking of Life in our PowerPoint presentation. A couple of years ago, our pastor, Pastor Jerome, gave that assignment to me to put together a PowerPoint slide where Speaking of Life was embedded in a PowerPoint presentation. I would do that every week, but you know, George goes on vacation sometimes, he's out of town at a conference sometimes, and it didn't always get done when I was away. So the small tweak is, this goes back to the training. How about I get with all of our worship leaders and give them some training? I created a document that outlined step-by-step how to embed a PowerPoint video or a video into PowerPoint. Gave that to them. It is now their responsibility as a part of their worship to put together a Speaking of Life embedded PowerPoint slide. That's just a very small, simple example of training and utilizing the resources rather than being on just one person. The example that is related to our current pandemic with COVID-19, for a while, we stopped having in-person church services. And we started sharing our church via Facebook Live messages. You're familiar with that. I've seen some of your services on Facebook Live. We have since gone back to in-person church services. But guess what? We still do our Facebook Live. That is a tweak that we never would have thought of before this pandemic. And it's reaching scores of people that we would not have reached otherwise. People that aren't necessarily within our local community. Some of them are people that used to be a part of our community, have moved away, and they want to stay connected. And we may have over 100, or typically we have over 100 people that will watch our Facebook Live, where we may have in our limited seating environment right now, 25 or 30 people. So we get to share the gospel, share the message through this one little tweak that we made. I say a little tweak. It was a learning experience for many of us to use Facebook Live and use technology. And we bought a couple of things to aid in the quality of the technology. But just a small thing, a tweak to help with the service, and not just inside our four walls, but also outside.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where there is synergy and integration between the three avenues, because you're gathering on Sunday inside the walls, your Hope Avenue, but yet through Facebook Live, you're now reaching the Love Avenue. You're reaching people in your community and beyond with this technology. And I'm thrilled that you brought it up, because that's one of the things we do want to encourage pastors to strongly consider, is to keep those digital platforms going, because it's a chance to reach scores of people, as you said, that may not have been reached otherwise. Let me ask you this, just out of curiosity, did you have to tweak the worship celebration or service itself to accommodate Facebook Live? Did it change the way or dynamic of your service, or did you just put up a camera and go with what you typically do on a Sunday?
Well, for licensing purposes and for some of the methods that the worship leaders actually present their worship, we were not able to incorporate worship for some of our worship teams. So rather than do some yes and some no, we took the approach of, we're going to start simple and do our Facebook Live just for the message. So it's not the entire service, it's just the message. And we want to make sure that our licensing was okay, and we were not doing things that were illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to keep you out of jail. Thanks for that, George. So let's talk for a moment about the Hope Avenue Champion and how you know you've done your job well. Because I'm convinced that every employee and ministry volunteer, at the end of the day, they want to know if they've done what they've been asked to do well. So what does it look like for you to know that you've done what you've been asked to do well? Tell us about that.
I would say two things. One is after church, there's a time for some fellowship. And if people come that are maybe new and they stick around and talk and they start telling their stories, that's indicative of they feel welcome in this environment. And they have had their hope bucket filled at least a little bit. After church, for those that are regular church attending members, if they have discussion about the message, if they have discussion about how that message applies to their week, about their lives, I feel that our job as a Hope team has been successful. For those that are first-time visitors, the second thing that I would say is if they come back for more, that tells us that the Spirit is leading us in a way that they felt their hope bucket get filled a bit, and they want more of that hope.
Yeah, it's when you see a first-time guest come back a second time, that is that's a beautiful sight to behold, and we thank the Lord. As I tell my congregation, it's not so much about numbers, it's about doing life with people from our community. What a joy that is, and that fills my hope bucket, as you said. So as we wrap up our time together, I wanted to ask you this one last question, kind of the general overarching thing that allows you to kind of riff here, but what else would you like to communicate to GCI Hope Avenue Champions that maybe hasn't been said yet?
I can think of a few things. One is I would encourage all Hope Avenue Champions in their service to follow the RCL, their Revised Common Lectionary, and planning their worship and their sermons so that it's an integrated message and it gets the church, those that attend on a regular basis, through the Bible in a way that is thematic for every season. I would also say that GCI is not trying to make yellow pencils out of every congregation. Every congregation is unique. We use Facebook Live for our sermons. Other churches who are not meeting in person use Zoom. Use whatever technology or whatever programs meet your needs for your individual church. But following the RCL is definitely something that I would say would be my encouragement to all Hope Avenue Champions. And the last thing is, don't be afraid of change. Be ready to adapt. And this current pandemic has helped drive that lesson home. Be ready to adapt and continue to adapt if it makes sense.
But I don't like change, George. No, that's well said. I mean, we have learned so much through this pandemic. I mean, most of our churches probably would not have had a digital platform otherwise. And that's one of the ways I've seen God at work in the midst of this tragedy to bring even more hope to our congregations. So you've given us a lot of practical insights, George. I really appreciate your experience and competency that you bring to this, and especially thinking through, I think it's helpful for our champions to continue to think through a team-based environment, because it's so easy for us to put our heads down and just do the work. You know, we feel a responsibility and an obligation, but really the obligation is to be team-based in our approach. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for all that you've said here today. And it's our tradition here on GC Podcast to, I love being on this side of this interview, because I get to ask the questions and it puts you on the hot seat to have to answer them. So we're going to, if you're willing to do this, I'd like to ask 7 rapid fire questions, and you just tell us and our listening audience the first thing that comes to mind. Are you okay with this?
Go for it.
All right. First question is this: favorite snack food?
Potato chips.
Oh, yes. Man, a little salt is always good. The first thing that comes to mind when you think of Texas?
Jalapenos.
Best music or decade of music? Was it the 70s, 80s, or 90s? And don't get it wrong.
I have to go with the 80s.
Hey. Okay, we're just going to move right along here. Fill in the blank. I feel most content when what?
My wife is happy.
Ooh, can I get an amen, brothers? Yes, that's a good word. When one, what one word comes to mind when you think of GCI?
Hope.
Yeah, that's a good word. What makes you proud about your children?
Oh, they're better than me.
Yeah. And then finally, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, I've received so many. I think the best piece of advice I ever received was, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. You should be listening twice as much as you should be speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why it's so fun to be on this side, George, to listen to you and all that you have to offer to us today. And George, we end our podcast each and every time with a word of prayer. And so what I'd like to ask you to do is pray over our pastors, our Hope Avenue champions, and their teams, and all of GCI, if you're willing.
I am. And I'm going to start off with taking a page out of the Apostle Paul's playbook from Romans. Towards the end, when he talks about hope, Romans 13:15, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that just really encapsulates my heart for all of the Hope Avenue champions. So with that, I'll close with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you so much that you are a God of hope. And through Jesus, we have great hope. And in our four walls, we want to share that hope with those that come into our sanctuaries, either physically or virtually, however we share that message. I just pray that you would grant each and every one of the Hope Avenue champions wisdom in everything that they incorporate into their teams and their churches. Help us not all to be yellow pencils, but to follow your lead and the lead of the Spirit as we provide through you and through the Spirit hope for this world. Give you thanks that you have given us this opportunity and this challenge, and bless us as we serve you and serve your people. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, that was a good interview. For you, Joe, what's the most significant thing that George said?
Well, besides the fact of George saying that you were old, you know, that was very significant, I thought.
Very relative. And that's, man, what a cheap shot. Can we just go ahead and end it?
Hey, I've got the microphone right now, okay? You know, what really stood out to me is him talking about referencing the Hope Avenue champion as like a grocery store manager. This hands-off and eyes-on primarily, but also sometimes being hands-on and eyes-on. And he mentions, you know, it's not the role of the Avenue champion to do everything, because there's a lot of responsibility within the Hope Avenue for one person. You got the greeting and hospitality, tech team, and all the other areas. And so it's so important to utilize the team-based pastor-led model, that the Hope Avenue champion needs to develop teams and give purpose to those teams and let the teams do their thing. You know, George George did say, and I really liked how he said this. He said, you know, I need to empower the teams and let them do their job. And honestly, Anthony, what convicted me that really stood out to me, and this is the hardest part for many of us pastors, because us pastors, we need to consistently communicate with our Hope Avenue champion, and we need to let go and let that Hope champion do their thing and let them run with the Hope Avenue.
Yeah, it's the difference between looking to be in power and rather empowering others. And, you know, if we are empowering others as we go as pastors, I think we're going to find it frees us up to do what we've been called to do, and for the leaders of our church to do what they're called to do, and that is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in his body. So that's a really good word for us to focus on as pastors, and a challenging word you just said there, Joe, because I think all of us can do a better job of really empowering these teams to do what we're asking them to do. And that's where it's another podcast, but even talking about the job descriptions or ministry descriptions, having specificity to the role that we're asking people to do, because as George and I talked about, I believe, at the end of the day, people want to know they've done their job well, and are we helping them do that by helping them understand what we're asking them to do? That's so helpful. So, you know, in GCI in 2020, the theme has been focus on hope, meaning much of the content in the 2020 Equipper editions have been targeting the Hope Avenue. Where can people go to find the GCI Equipper, and how has it been helpful to your participation in ministry?
Well, I just want to say, whoever's listening to this, especially if you're a pastor or especially a pastor, if you're not going to equipper.gci.org and utilizing the Equipper, are you good, bro? Or sis? because it is just full of a wealth of information, and it really does help equip you and can help you equip others. And there's a lot of great reasons. There's a lot of great reasons to use the RCL that is within the Equipper. But Anthony, can I be a little bit real right now?
Be real, bro.
Okay. This pandemic has made me way more busy. I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm a pastor, I'm a friend, and now I'm a third, fourth, and 10th grade teacher for my kids. And the RCL resource within the Equipper has helped me so much on my time, because I know what scripture and topic I'll be preaching on. So if anything, it has helped save a lot of time for me, because my duties have increased a lot since being in this pandemic and virtual learning with my kids.
You know, in a past life, Joe, I was in software sales, and we'd always talk about how it was so much better and more effective to hear from a satisfied customer than being the paid salesman telling you about this great thing. What you just said about Equipper, you sound like a very satisfied customer, and that it's been blessing your life. And that's an encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to those that produce the content in Equipper, but it really is a helpful resource. So thank you for sharing that. So friends, we really appreciate you listening to us today. It means a lot to us. And if you like what you heard, and frankly, why wouldn't you? Give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.